Friends, I want to give you a very warm welcome to our Bible study today. Obviously, today is Thursday, and that's the day when our congregation in new buildings would be meeting together for prayer. But because of current circumstances, that's not just possible. But we still have the Word of God, and we still have prayer. And it's tremendous just to think of the volume of prayer that's going up in our own village and in our own city and across the land and even across the world. Tremendous to just to think of the great mighty volume of prayer that's going up to our amazing God, the one who is on the throne of the universe and the one who answers prayer. And I was greatly encouraged to watch a video just today of the Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Scott Morrison, and just to see him encouraging his people to pray, and just to listen to him personally cry out to God. And it's also tremendous to hear about Mr. Trump in America calling his people to a day of prayer, a national day of prayer. And it's so heartening in these days when we have world leaders like that calling out to God in prayer and urging their people to pray. And I urge you to continue to pray. God is on the throne. He hears prayer, and when we plead the name of Jesus and when we plead the blood of Jesus, then there's mighty power. So don't be discouraged, folks, if you feel weak and you feel that your faith is weak, because it doesn't matter about the amount of our faith. What matters is the object of our faith. And the object of our faith is the Lord himself. And the psalmist said, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." And so our confidence is not in our faith, but our confidence rather is in our great God. So just before we come to the study today, will you join with me, please, for a word of prayer? Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Father, I pray that you will bless everyone who is watching this video, listening to this audio message today. I pray that you will encourage your blood-washed people, and I pray, Lord, for any who are not washed in the Savior's blood, that they may be drawn to him today, and that they may take shelter under that arch of safety, under the blood of the Lamb, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus today. Exodus chapter 12, and I want to read a passage that has been much on my mind in recent times, and this passage has brought me great comfort personally. And so if you have your Bible, will you follow along with me as we go to the 12th chapter of Exodus? We're beginning to read, please, at verse 11. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11. "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Now down, please, to verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in onto your houses to smite you. We know that the Lord will bless this short portion of his infallible word to all of our hearts. Well, the Bible is a wonderful book, folks. And the Bible is a book of blood. Someone has said that if you cut the Bible, it will bleed. And thank God, from Genesis to Revelation, there is a crimson river flowing. And that river is filled with the Savior's blood. And even as the great old hymn says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And I want to tell you, dear friend, if you are a sinner today out of Christ without a Savior, I want to tell you that there is cleansing for all your sins. Not just some of your sins, but all of your sins, your very worst sins, those sins that scream at you today and say to you that they could never be forgiven. I want to tell you on the authority of God's word, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it's wonderful just to know that the blood deals not with some of our sins or even most of our sins, but it deals with all of our sins and the very blackest of sins. And even for those of you who are born again believers and you have failed the Lord and you have done shameful, disgraceful things as Christians, and perhaps you're despairing today. And friends, it's very easy to be like that. And Satan heaps guilt upon us. But I want to encourage you, believer, that you can come to the fountain and the river filled with our Savior's blood, and you can be cleansed from all your sins. Next Wednesday, Passover begins, and it's a wonderful time for the people of Israel worldwide. And sadly, of course, they no longer believe in the blood. And there's very few Passovers that are celebrated today where the blood is shed and where the Jews believe in blood atonement. And it's largely a bloodless festival nowadays. But nonetheless, it is a very precious time for Jewish people, and we pray God will bless them from next Wednesday. And as Passover continues for the next 8 days after that, we pray the Lord's blessing upon his ancient people, and we pray above all that the people of Israel may come to know their Messiah, the Messiah who has come already, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And folks, his name is Jesus. And our prayer is that many of the people of Israel, and indeed Gentiles too, would come to know this wonderful Redeemer. But we want to go back today for a short time to the very first Passover ever. The institution of the Passover took place in the book of Exodus whenever the Jews were in bondage in Egypt. And we find this wonderful provision of safety given by the Lord in Exodus chapter 12. And we find, you know, folks, that it's the 10th plague. And it's the plague whenever God is going to judge Egypt, and his judgment will fall on the firstborn in each home. But the Lord has sent out the warning message. And he says to not only to the people of Israel, but of course to all the people of Egypt, he says, take a lamb, shed its blood, and put the blood with the hyssop on the doorposts of your homes. And whether you are Jew or Egyptian, if you are in your home sheltering under the blood, you will be safe from wrath. And folks, God's people Israel, they took heed to the warning and they put the blood on the doorposts of their homes, and they were safe from the destroyer and from the judgment of God that fell. Well, we know obviously today that coronavirus is in many different countries of our world. I was just reading an article lately, and the writer called the coronavirus the 11th plague. The 11th plague. And perhaps, folks, that is the case. Perhaps today God is judging not only our nation for its sins, but the world for its sins. Now, we are not God, and we cannot say unequivocally that this is the judgment of God. But whenever you think of it, friends, surely there is an argument and there's evidence for this being the judgment of God. Whenever you think of all the pride parades that take place in our world every year, thousands of pride parades across major cities all over the world, and people parading in their pride and in their shame and shaking their fist in the face of Almighty God. Well, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so as you think of the pride of man today, surely God could not be blamed for judging that pride. When we think today of the murder of innocent children that's taking place today on a massive scale across our world, something like 200,000 babies are murdered every year in the United Kingdom alone, in their mother's womb. That place that should be the safest place on earth, in our nation, it is the most dangerous place. And even today, in the midst of COVID-19, our government has taken the decision to allow people to perform DIY abortions at home. And the outcome of that could be 44,000 little children murdered. Just to add to the enormous murder that has already taken place. And you would almost think that our leaders have taken leave of their senses. And so, folks, perhaps this could indeed be the 11th plague. But I want to tell you, folks, that there is a worse plague than the coronavirus. Yes, there is. There is a worse plague in our world today than COVID-19. And this plague has always been around. It has been around ever since Eden, ever since God placed man and created man and put him into the garden. And it's called the plague of sin. And sin is a rebellion against God. And sin is transgressing the law of God. And there are many, many people today who do exactly that. They transgress and they rebel against the law of God. And many people even deny the law of God and deny that it's important. Well, folks, we can step off the edge of a skyscraper and all the way to the bottom, we can deny the law of gravity. But it doesn't stop the law of gravity coming into play. And as sure as we step off the top of the skyscraper, we will hit the bottom sooner or later. And no amount of denial will ever deny away the law, will ever deny away the law of gravity. And folks, no amount of denial will ever deny away the law of God. And the law of God is given to us for our good. The Ten Commandments were not given from some sort of cosmic spoil sport to ruin our lives. No, the Ten Commandments were given to us so that we wouldn't hurt ourselves. Our loving Creator gave us this law to protect us from harm. But many today have disregarded that law. And every time man breaks the law of his Maker, then it is called sin. And sin is the worst virus of all. And folks, I want to tell you today that if you're still in your sin, you need to find a place of safety. Or should I say, you need to find the place of safety. And the only place of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark my words, in these days, the only place of absolute safety for you and for me is in Christ and in his atoning blood. I want you to come with me to Exodus chapter 12, and we want to linger around it for a few moments today. And I want to take as my text verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Think carefully about those words. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Notice those two words, the blood. The Lord, of course, himself is the speaker here. And he speaks these remarkable words, the blood. Notice that the Lord doesn't say blood. He doesn't just say, when I see blood. No, he says, when I see the blood. The emphasis is on that little word, the blood. You see, what the Lord is saying here is that there's a place of safety under the appointed blood. It's the blood of the Lamb, of course. And God has told his people Israel that only as they shelter under the blood of the Lamb will they find safety. Some of the people of Israel perhaps thought to themselves, well, we'll just take the blood of a bull or the blood of a goat and we'll put it on the doorposts. But that was not sufficient. God did not say, take the blood of a bull or the blood of a goat. No, he said, take the blood of a lamb. It must be lamb's blood. And only as they took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts and sheltered under it, would they find safety from the wrath of God. Folks, I want to tell you today that safety alone is found in the blood of God's appointed lamb. And Jesus is the appointed lamb. And it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that provides safety for us. No other blood will shelter us. No other blood will protect us from the storm of God's judgment. It is the blood of Christ alone that brings safety to our sinful souls. And so I trust that every one of us today are sheltering under this arch of safety. I trust that we have taken the hyssop from the basin, as it were, and have applied the blood of Jesus to our hearts and to our lives. You know, that basin that Exodus 12 speaks of is a wonderful thought. Let me ponder it with you for a moment or two. What does the basin represent? Well, it represents the Bible, I believe. Folks, this book here is the basin. And this is the basin that holds the blood of Jesus, the appointed blood. And the blood is mentioned time and time again throughout the Bible. The Bible is a book of blood. And if you take the blood out of the Bible, then it becomes a meaningless book, and it's a book that you'd be far better not even reading. You see, folks, where you have a bloodless gospel, you have a hopeless gospel. And so the basin speaks of the Bible. And the word blood is mentioned almost 400 times in the Bible. What about the hyssop? The hyssop is a symbol, a picture of faith. And we must take the hyssop of our faith, even though it be weak. And we must apply the blood of Christ, the blood of the appointed sacrifice, to our hearts and lives, to the lintel and to the side posts of our souls. And even there at the cross of Calvary in John 19, the Roman soldiers took the hyssop. And that was very, very significant, because it was teaching us that the one on the cross was God's appointed Savior. And so, folks, we need to remember today that there is only one blood that provides safety for the soul, and it is the blood of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We have a text of scripture outside the church, and that text says, John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We trust that in these days that many, even as they pass by the church, even though the doors are closed, that many would look on those words and would look by faith to God's appointed Lamb. The Lord says, "When I see the blood," the blood. But it's very interesting, folks, here that the Lord says, "When I see the blood." The emphasis is on that little one-letter word, I. God says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And verse 23, "When he seeth the blood, the Lord will pass over the door." God says, when he sees the blood of Christ upon our lives, then he will pass over. Judgment will not, judgment cannot fall upon us, because it has already fallen upon Christ. And what peace and what comfort that brings. God does not say here in this text, "When you see the blood, I will pass over you." No, he says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Friends, the reality is that so many of us as Christians, our feelings can be so changeable. And there are days whenever we feel that perhaps we're hardly even saved. We even perhaps doubt our salvation, and we doubt our interest in the Savior's blood. And in a sense, we cannot see the blood upon our souls. But I want to tell you, dear friends, that that's not what matters. Us seeing the blood is not what counts. It is not the important thing that you see the blood or that I see the blood. The important thing and what really matters at the end of the day is that the Lord himself sees the blood. You see, there were perhaps people in the houses in Egypt all those years ago, and maybe some of those who lived in the house, they doubted and they feared and they wondered, was the blood on the doorposts? And they doubted perhaps and were afraid whether whenever the destroying angel came, whether they would be spared. But folks, as long as the blood was on the doorposts, they were safe. And as long as the blood is on your life and on your soul, then you're safe regardless of how you feel. You see, so often our peace ebbs and flows. That's the reality. One day we have much peace. The next day it's very different, and we can be discouraged and cast down, and our peace seems to have disappeared. But folks, the one thing that never changes is the blood of Christ upon our lives. And that blood is there as a protection for us. So take heart, believer, even though perhaps you with the eye of faith cannot see the blood today, God himself does see the blood. He sees the blood of his own appointed victim, the Lord Jesus, his own beloved son. And when he sees the blood, he will pass over your soul. Someone has said that Christ's blood makes us safe. God's word makes us sure. And it is his blood. It is the Savior's blood that makes us safe. And it is the Bible that makes us sure. And God himself in the scriptures tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And he says that in the last book of the Bible, there's that wonderful text that says that those who came into the New Jerusalem, they had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so we know from the Word of God that those of us who are taking shelter under the blood in 2020, we are safe and secure. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Now, friends, we must finish our Bible study just now. But let me just share a few thoughts as we finish, another thought with you here. You notice the Lord says, I will pass over you. On Sunday past, we thought about the three great I wills from Isaiah chapter 41. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, here's another great I will from the scriptures. I will pass over you. You have his word today, friends. The Lord God Almighty promises that if you take shelter under the blood of his Son, he will pass over you. He will not take out his punishment on you. He will not mete out his wrath to you. You have his word. And it's the word of a gentleman. The Lord is a perfect gentleman. He is the God of truth, and he never lies. God is not a liar. I tell you, folks, there are many liars out there in the world today. There's a lot of liars out there. But God's not one of them. And the book of Romans says, chapter 3 and verse 4, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Yes, God is true. And when he promises, when he promises to the soul who shelters under the blood of Christ that he will pass over them, he will keep his word. For he is a man of his word. Yes, the man Christ Jesus is a man of his word. What a precious promise it is for us as believers today. What a precious promise it is for those of us who are not believers, not sheltering under the blood. What a lovely promise going out to us today that if we will only take refuge under the blood, then God's judgment will pass over us. God's peace will come to us, and we will be ready for heaven. We will be prepared to meet our God. Augustus Toplady penned those lovely words, payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. What lovely words. You know, Augustus Toplady, the great hymn writer, he only lived to the age of 38. The Lord Jesus took him home in the prime of life, we would say, just 38 years of age. But he was ready to go. You see, Mr. Toplady had been converted at the age of 16. He was in Ireland at the time, and he attended a gospel meeting in a country barn. And the preacher was, as we would say, very rough and ready, just a country preacher, a farmer who was trying his best by the grace of God and with the help of the Spirit to preach. He wasn't naturally a preacher, wasn't an ordained preacher. But as this farmer preached simply the gospel to Augustus Toplady, he was converted. And the text that night was Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Augustus was made nigh to God by the blood of Christ, and you too today can be made nigh, be made near to God. You can be brought right into the very near presence of your Maker through the blood of Christ, and you can shelter under his wings and be covered and take refuge under his feathers. Another great hymn tells us to Calvary, Lord, in spirit now your weary souls repair, to dwell upon thy dying love and taste its sweetness there, sweet resting place of every heart that feels the plague of sin, yet knows that deep mysterious joy, the peace of God within. There you have it, friends, the plague of sin, the worst of all plagues. I wonder, have you taken refuge in the only safe place from the plague of sin, from the plague of your sin? Yes, there is a worse plague than the plague that is around today. I urge you today to take refuge in Christ, to flee to that arch of safety, to shelter under the blood of God's appointed Lamb, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word today. We thank you for your precious promise. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. We pray, Lord, for believers today who are troubled and afraid. Lord, our prayer would be that of the hymn writer, breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find the promised rest. I pray, Father, for those who are out of Christ today, those who have never been washed in the blood of Jesus, those who are not sheltering under the blood of God's appointed Savior. We pray for them today that they might be saved. Thank you, Father, that you are long-suffering to usward and not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I just pray for our land today, for our world today. O God, in Jesus' name, we pray that you will be merciful. We pray that you will spare lives. We pray that you will heal the sick. And we pray, Lord, that you will drive back the virus. And we pray, O God, that figures will start to go down. Figures, Lord, of those who are dying. Oh, that the death toll figures will start to reduce day by day. Oh, that the figures of those who are infected with the virus will start to reduce day by day. Speak the word, Lord, and it shall be done. We just pray that you will protect all of our homes. Cover our homes beneath the precious blood of Jesus. And watch over us, O Lord, until we come again and gather again around your precious word. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our portion this day and until Jesus comes or calls. Amen.